Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night
to what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and it's Super Bowl weekend. And it looks like the markets might be having their own little Super Bowl as it is. They've been pretty. We can say the words volatility is back. I think that you certainly can say that price volatility is back, and the VIX had made it up to about 15 and is now seems to have a higher low, which indicates that more volatility to come. I think one of the things we're looking at is the overall the collapse of the Bitcoin. We've got some of the big earnings and and some pretty big moves. I think one of the interesting stories is the way that these earnings and these people, these investors and brokers are chasing themselves into a lot of these stocks. You know, we had a big earnings in Google and Amazon, which were both much lower and then went higher. I think I'm calling the top. Now, just because I say the top is in does not mean that you can just randomly sell. It does not mean that you should close out your portfolio. It means that you need to be a little bit more protected, and you could potentially hedge your portfolio, which just we'll be starting a new class in the next couple of weeks. But also, it just means to be aware from a trading standpoint of what you're looking to do and what you think you should do. But I would say that now you'd want to look to be a seller of rallies. I think one of the interesting things you look at is the viciousness of some of these rallies that come all of a sudden. What that means to me is that, again, that's just topping action. Now, again, that does not mean we go from the top and immediately into a bear market or a down move. It just means that I don't think we're going to see this overall, you know, this straight grind higher, which we've basically seen for almost, I don't know, 5 years. You know, we've gone up straight since 09, but there was some opportunities in between there. But, you know, over the last, you know, 10 or 11 months, we've really just been grinding. You know, every day was just up and up and up. You know, it wasn't, no 3% correction in 2 years. It's a correction, no 3% move in 2 years, and, 100 days of not in even a 1% move. So now I think you're seeing the expansion of some volatility. You're seeing prices start to change more rapidly. And again, that will mean that there will be some big up moves. Okay. Again, there's going to be some rip your face off rallies. So it's not like you're going to miss anything. I think this is one of the big problems in the trading world is that we miss the opportunity because we can't control our emotions. And you're going to, like I said, the dip, if I'm correct, the dip buyers are still not gone. All right. There's still going to be people trying to buy the dip, but this is the new paradigm or the new paradigm. You know, you see the markets. And of course, if you remember from the movie, Trading Places, that's not right. They're not supposed to be going down. And this is kind of the area that we're getting into right now is it's going to be, that's not right. And I'm going to buy more. And this is the old trap that gets set. if I'm correct. Now, again, it could be, this could just be a temporary pause that refreshes, but there are so many things that are not logical at this moment. There are so many things that do not support this overall rally, that you'd have to believe that there is going to be a major sell-off. Again, that doesn't mean it will be tomorrow. We could certainly, see these big swinging moves. You know, if you look at Thursday, for example, you were down, you were up on the reopen on Wednesday. At Thursday morning, at one point, you were down 200 and some points in the pre-market, only to turn around and rally all the way back, only to turn around and sell off, only to turn, you know what I'm saying? So that this is what the kind of action and markets that you're starting to see, which is good because that brings back in the uncertainty tool into the game. And this is the kind of action. And now you look for key levels of markets to sell, and you can use any time frame, depending on your time frame. If you're more active, you could look at a 30-minute chart and say, okay, so this is the resistance level. But expect, some major rallies. If you look at even this morning's action, you had a push down to 25,863 in the Dow futures. And of course, they got back up to, 26,000 just about. So this is the expectations you should have now, is for some wild momentum swings. And before, because again, we're not saying that they're going straight down, because I would never say that. I say that you're going to have some wild, vicious swings. But one of the things you want to understand about markets in general is the speed in which it goes up, okay, and the speed in which it goes down. And when you start to get the fast, vicious rallies, that is indications of a top. When you get the big spikes that just, like I said, they look so tasty, and you ask yourself, how can I not be in that trade, right? And that is usually the sign of a market that's topping out. Now, I repeat that topping out does not mean that we go right to bear market. It doesn't mean that the world falls apart. It just means that the overall straight up moves appear to be over. And now it looks like we should be able to get some action, or some what we'll call two-way trade. And that is something that is important, as a trader, as an investor. Now, investors, just remember, investors, you shouldn't be watching that closely, because you'll give yourself a nervous breakdown by watching it. First off, you're hedged, then you're in great shape. But you should not be giving, you should not be so concerned of the day-to-day movement, because, you're investing and you're not going to change or do something against that. So that's why it's easier to be hedged. But even if you're not hedged and you choose not to be, then you should just, as they say, turn those machines off and don't look at it. You're invested, you're invested. And I think that's something that we all tend to make a mistake. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to put together a couple of new classes starting in March. This is the first Tuesday in March, which will be we will be starting our new hedging class, and the first Wednesday in March we'll be starting our new futures class. If you've got some interest, just email me and I'll send you out the details. And don't forget about our high school investing program. We're trying to, again, educate the youth of America, and I need some help from anybody who wants to help, and that is through patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you do that, I will give you a 1-week free trial of the Futures Advisory Service. And don't forget to download the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm, and, of course, the Sporting Edge at the same spot, libertytalk.fm. And, of course, we've got the Super Bowl this weekend. You'll get my prediction at the end. We'll talk to you right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's the time. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, as we were talking about, we have some volatility coming back to roost. And I think what you're going to see here is it's only going to get wilder. I think one of the big things that you have to understand now is you, if you watch certain dynamics of things that are happening, and that would be, one would be the constant pounding and pounding of the dollar. Now, it is my view, it is my opinion that the dollar is getting drilled because the Fed and other central banks continue to sell dollars because they know what I know and what you know, and you might not know you know it, but that they need to keep the interest rates down. And the only way they can do it now, because the fixed income market basically said to the Fed, go screw yourself. We want rates to be higher, all right? So what you're starting to see is the only way they can artificially pound them down is by weakening the dollar. Now, the dollar is at desperate levels and has been just absolutely ripped. And you can see constant pressure, like somebody's sitting on it. The euro currency, obviously, on the other hand, is extremely extended to the upside. And I would be a seller of euros and a buyer of dollars. I think that this is something that, you know, you watch. Now, you know, we have talked about the bond market, you know, pretty much regularly. And the bond market is strictly just getting hammered. All right, you know, which means that interest rates are going higher, and the 10-year is now hit almost 2.8, and the 30-year is now back over 3%. You know, what does that mean? Well, it's going to mean higher mortgage rates. It's going to mean a whole bunch of things in the future to different asset classes and different things that we do. You know, if the housing, you know, if we get higher rates, it's going to slow down. It's either going to bring down the price of housing. Because let's face it, the housing market, like every other market right now, is totally manipulated. Because when interest rates are extremely low, housing values and prices are extremely high. Because at the end of the day, as we've talked about before, we're a by-the-month society. So if we're by-the-month, then, you know, what difference does it make what I pay for the house? Only can I afford the monthly payment. But now that rates are rising, and they're rising fairly rapidly, you know, we've talked about that 30-year, selling the 30-year bonds, you know, the bond futures, and they have just absolutely been crushed. I mean, we got a big, strong sell at 158. They're down at 145 now, which is a gargantuan move. So when you look at it and you say, oh, my goodness gracious. And, of course, higher prices will lead to interest rates. And with rising rates, you now have a few things that are going to happen in the market. Okay, number one, all of these loans that were out there at cheap money are going to start to accelerate to the upside, which will have a direct effect on earnings, which will have a direct effect on spending power. And, of course, the only one that really happy, I mean, I believe rates should be higher anyways. I think that the ignorance of the Federal Reserve is keeping them this low for this long into a market that was as strong, which is stupid. Okay, that's just my opinion. But what you're going to see is the banks are extremely happy as you continue to see them. Even though the markets have been volatile and under pressure, you've seen the banks continue to try to rally because, again, this is a big profit cycle for them. Higher rates bring more money in because of the spread between what they borrow at and what they lend at is now widening, all right? You know, remember, that's why it was such an ordeal back when rates were so low. It's the willingness to want to lend to an average guy with a small spread was not welcome. So like anything else in a geometric progression is they get wider, and as the borrowing rate gets higher, the lending rate gets even wider. And of course, I'm a big fan. I believe that's a good thing because, again, if money is cheap but you can't borrow it, what good is it? So, you know, if you need money, you know, think about it. The rates we are now, the rates are ridiculously low. Okay. You know, we've the 10 year has come down over the last 38 years from, you know, 12% down to, you know, 2%. You know, it doesn't sound like much, right? It's such a just an enormous move. But the bull market in fixed income or in bonds is over, which means we're going to go in, and we are going into a bear market. I mean, you can just look at it and see the charts. We just continue to get pulverized at each and every opportunity. And I think that's what you want to continue to look for. And if you're a trader of bonds, then you want to sell every rally. But again, this is under the same under the same idea. You want to look for a vicious rally to sell into, because you're going to get them. You're going to get short covering rallies everywhere. Wherever any product that has been totally obliterated will have and have created a short squeeze at some point in time. If you don't understand, that's a big part of market trade, is a short squeeze, or, you know, we won't call it a long squeeze, but when the markets are too far overbought or too far oversold, people then, you know, it only takes one to say, uh-oh, I better change and I better get out. And one gets out, and then it's like a bunch of rats climbing up on each other trying to get out of someplace before they drown. And that's kind of how the markets function. So, you know, higher volatility brings more higher emotion from the investor's pub standpoint. And of course, because we are like sheep or like cattle and get herded together, we all of a sudden go, oh my God, the market's starting to change. I got to get out. And of course, different people, and you know, okay, and I have warned about this for quite a while, is there is a enormous amount of people that are in the market that don't want to be in the market, okay? And they can't wait to get out and see higher rates. Well, you know, all of a sudden you're at a 3% 10-year, all right? Does that make sense? You know, if the dividend yielding of the markets was, you know, 3%, now you can get 3% without having to risk in the stock market, is that worth it? And I guarantee you there are plenty out there that think it's worth it. And I would be afraid, I'll be honest with you, I would be afraid for Monday. You know, Mondays historically are one of the worst days of the week when it comes to a big lopsided move. Now, I'm not telling you that this Monday's going to collapse. I want you to understand the whole deal. But what I will say to you is that the action, this is a very similar pattern. Now, again, do not take this as the fear trade. Do not take this as something you should run out and act on right now, unless there's a reason to. But the action is very similar to 1987. All right. Now, again, we know that 1987 can't happen because of the circuit breakers in the market. Okay. But the markets have known only one direction, which is up. And again, that's fine. But now, if we go back and look at the action, we had Thursday, a very volatile day, and that was way down, way up, but closed a little bit lower. And then we have Friday, which was a very volatile day and had a wider swing and got clocked. Okay. That's the same exact setup. Higher volatility, big moves, big swings. And then what happens is people over the weekend will start to get nervous. They'll start to fester in their mind what's going on. The fixed incomers are going to say, geez, I can't afford to get hammered once again. I need to get out. And that's typically what happens on a weekend. You know, it's the extra day, okay, that you get nervous. You know, you have more time to think about it. The markets aren't open. You know, in today's world, hell, the market's open, you know, back up. You know, they're open almost 24 hours, so you can kind of get a feel for it. So now everything closes, and you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about it, and of course it forces you to make sometimes a very bad decision. And again, I'm not trying to create the fear. I'm just letting you know some of the things that happen, and that's why Mondays are typically an ugly day. If it's going to be ugly. If, you know, if you're going to get one big nasty, it's usually on a Monday just for those reasons, because people start to go on the sell side. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show on Super Bowl weekend, Super Bowl Friday. And we will have our selection with a couple of props, too, just for those who like to imbibe in these things. And don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update. Every day I do an update of the market, email it to you, a little video. You get to see my smiling face, and it's free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horvitz coming right back to you. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horvitz. So as we left off, we were talking about a little bit about market meltdowns and why Mondays is such a big day. And that is actually where the term Turnaround Tuesday came, because usually you're reacting off of Monday's action. But again, we are not interested in trying to scare you and trying to fear you into doing anything. I'm just giving you some simple, straight-up facts about the function of the markets. Now, I think that, you know, we've seen some interesting action in the markets, which even makes things, you know, more interesting. I mean, look at the pounding of the Bitcoin in the crypto world. Okay, now, so are the experts being proven right? Or has the ability now for more people to play, have they been sucked in to the views of the general population of the people that are supposed to be those of respect, the brokers and things like that? And are they selling into this and trying to continue to pound it down? All right. And I say there's a better chance that we get a short squeeze out of this and we get a huge run back to the upside than we continue to go lower from around here. Because this is, again, one of the things you have to remember is forget about what the product is, especially when you're dealing with a commodity or a thing that does not have a certain value. You know, you remember, companies, A, they only trade, you know, basically, I mean, obviously after our stream, but they basically trade from 9:30 to 4. Right? They have board of directors. They have earnings news. They've got things that can happen. They've got scandals, you know, like, for example, Wynn with Steve Wynn. You know, again, I don't call it a scandal. You know, it's an unfortunate event, but the stock did get hit on the head pretty hard. But commodities and commodity types of products don't have that same issue, okay? Especially the Bitcoin, which trades, you know, well, all of them. The cryptocurrency space trades 24 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week. So they have no earnings, okay? They have no, you know, the boss is, you know, Harvey Weinstein, you know, abusing where your company's going to be worth gots and goo. You've got to come just a regular, true, free market. Well, so you've got people pounding away in here. And, of course, even if Bitcoin is done, even if it's going to zero, there's going to be a monster rally in here somewhere. There's going to be a monster short squeeze in here somewhere. And I beg you to watch at least the action. If you don't watch it all, I beg you to watch the, you know, the XBT or the BTC at either the Merc or whatever. And just, and again, not to trade it, to watch and see if you can spot when it's going to pop and go up. All right. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not going to collapse and it's going to be value. I mean, I believe that the cryptos are going to be value forever. Now, it may not be Bitcoin, it may not be Ethereum, it may not be any of them that we know right now, but I do believe that this is the up-and-coming space, and it's going to be, you know, as they say, real, and it's spectacular. You know, this is going to be an unbelievable opportunity for you and to understand the market. And I think what you want to watch is look for that, you know, that final carnage. They call it in the trading world the capitulation. When you see that capitulation bottom, it's probably a fairly good opportunity to step in. And I think that is something that, you know, we as traders and investors have to understand. I mean, right now you've got the, you know, the Bitcoin on lows not seen for, you know, maybe ever, you know, in the recent, since it became full stream media. I mean, the Bitcoin future opened at the Mercantile Exchange at 20,650. Okay, today it traded below 8,000, so it's down 60% from its opening. Okay, now again, that you look for the capitulation bottom, and what you would look for is a douche with a big volume spike, and that would be very indicative that the markets had been making that sort of a top. I think when you look at, you know, if you look at some of these Bitcoin stocks, Riot was up at a gazillion, okay, and now is in the toilet. Right? Riot was at one time at 46, it's now 12. That's in about 6 weeks. Mara, which is a little cheap little stocky that I'd play, was as high as 10, it's now under 3. Grow was 7.5, now 3. Are you getting the picture? Okay. That is something that is, we have to recognize. Now one of the ones that is related, or a couple that are related to that space, and that should give you another story, is Square and NVIDIA. They're both acting pretty well based on what the markets are doing. Okay. And that's something I think that you need to recognize as well. So those seem to be stronger, you know, and more involved. But again, this overall flood to the space has made it. I think you have to look at, you know, certain things about the characteristics of this market. And again, you also look at the way that they're trying to talk it down. And that is, again, the bigger problem. All right, that's the trading part of it, and this is where you have to, you know, say, hey, I do get it, I understand it, and understand that, you know, these markets, you know, when they have that capitulation bottom, you'll get a bounce. And again, whether we'll get a bounce that will last, because listen, I could be totally wrong, and Bitcoin could be, you know, the crypto world could collapse, it could be over, or I could be totally right. But either way, the chart, you know, if you go back and look at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you know, when they were trading and they went broke, you still had some unbelievably major spikes from depressed levels. And that, again, is we need the capitulation bottom, or what we call the blow off. We call it the blow off, but the capitulation, that's where the blood just rolls down the street. And I think you're starting to see that in some of the cryptos. The blood is rolling in, and there's an issue. So what does that mean? Well, right now it doesn't mean anything. It means you got to watch and look for an opportunity. But certainly, I'd be saying, hey, I need to be snapping me up some of this Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever. But Bitcoin has got hammered much worse than anything else. Now, does that mean there's a fundamental flaw in the Bitcoin? Is that not going to be the leader of the pack? And again, I don't have the answer to that. I can tell you, you know, we talk about on the show with Matt Demeter, and we actually talk about it on our new show on the weekends on cryptocurrencies. But, you know, there's a lot of flawed stuff in Bitcoin, mainly the expense and the transaction speed. And not the expense of the actual product, but the expense of the transaction fees. So what that only means is that does Bitcoin turn into gold? As in other words, Bitcoin turns into the investable or the safety or the hard asset, which is not a hard asset, but the asset you hold, and the other smaller ones become the ones that you play with and spend. All right. You know, because obviously, you know, for example, gold, you don't have slivers of gold, you know, that you can walk around with. You know, I mean, if you can break it down to the 1 ounce coin, that's still $1,300. You know, you got to get change for $1,300, please. So, again, those are just little things that we look at. But again, I don't know. I don't know enough about the space to say which one will be. But I can guarantee you one will be, and it'll probably be a couple. It could be a gold, silver, palladium, platinum, copper type of setup. You know, it could be, you know, any number of things that correlate them together. But the markets have a thirst for this alternative space. The markets have accepted it. I mean, again, you're seeing ETFs, blah, blah. You're seeing a lot of things come out, which then brings in some commercial money, which then brings in some, you know, the ability to kind of manipulate, to kind of pressure and hold back on them. And what does that mean? Nothing. It means that that's the market. So watch the market and trade the overall market footprint without trying to, you know, predict and don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe trick. No, you know, the experts that don't understand it, that tell you that it's a bubble, that it's no good. The experts that, again, they don't want your money there because they don't get their commission. Again, you have to remember what the world is about. The world is not about, you know, always fair play. The world is about how can I get your money? All right? So, you know, brokers, advisors, they only make money when your market money is in the market. So they love bull markets because you're fully invested. And that's why they end up failing at the end, because we're always fully invested and we don't use our head in it, realizing that the markets, because every tout on TV right now will tell you this is the greatest buying opportunity in your lifetime. We're going to the moon. You know, buy, 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 buy. And we all know, we've seen this movie before. And again, it's just, I warn you and urge you just to take care of your money. That's the biggest thing I can help you with and tell you. I don't care how you do it. We offer ways to do it, but I'm not, whether you do or you don't, I'm just saying keep an eye on your dough because it's your show. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, highschoolinvesting.com is one of my places. And of course, I've supported it myself for 7 years, now in 300 and some high schools. And of course, we finance it and pay for it ourselves and are looking for some help from our friends. And if you go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, you can help us out there. And if you do, you get a free week of the advisory, my futures, and just check it out. No credit card, nothing to do. Just check it out. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. This is the Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show on this Friday, February the 2nd. What is up? My goodness gracious. Volatility is back. The markets are going crazy. And we got the Super Bowl on Sunday. And this is a big business decision. You know, and it's funny. I listen to networks. They talk about the falling ratings. They talk about the big problems in the NFL. In the meantime, did Fox not just pay a record price to broadcast Thursday Night Football? The one night that nobody even wants to play? Thursday Night Football is not for the players. It's for TV and the gamblers. Okay? Do we all realize that football is dictated by the gamblers? Okay? Because at the end of the day, why is football, American football, the most viewed sport? Because it's the easiest and to gamble on. Between fantasy football, you know, now with FanDuel and DraftKings and 500 other places that you can go, now they're now trying to legalize gambling nationwide. Now you have the what they call the in-game or the live betting. Now this is not new. It's new here. In Europe, it's been that way for forever. There's a site there called Betfair that is not a bookmaker. It's a clearinghouse where the clearinghouse just takes their little edge in the middle. But you can bet live bet even into horse racing. And you think about that, you've got a 3-minute race because they do a lot of long distance races there, and you can bet a minute and a half into the race. So there's a lot of popularity coming in, and it's all tied more to football than anything else. And again, football, almost everybody has some form of betting or gambling interest in football, whether it be the office pool, whether it be the King of the Hill pool, whether it be fantasy teams or fantasy league, or maybe play daily fantasy. The biggest percentage of gambling is done on the sport of football. And I mean, just take a look. You've got prop bets for this weekend that have cross sport props. Why? Because they'd like to bring interest to other sports. But you probably have, I printed out something, it was 31 pages of proposition bets. Okay, because people will make them. They, you know, whether or not there's a safety, whether or not there's this, whether or not Tom Brady has to go to the bathroom during the game. You know, there's a lot of, just a lot. I mean, they used to have a clock on the national anthem, and you could bet on, you bet on the coin flip, you could bet on anything. But it's because football is still the most popular sport, and they always ask about, you know, the TV ratings, why are TV ratings down? Well, how about there's so many sports outlets right now. I don't even watch the game, you know, unless there's a one game. I mean, you know, on a Sunday, for example, I watch the Red Zone because it's got every game. Because I got money on the games and I got fantasy going. I don't want to watch one individual game on a Sunday afternoon. I want to get them all, so I watch the Red Zone because I get all the scoring plays. But that takes away from it. And then, but you talk about the live attendance. Why is attendance possibly down? Well, I think that it's down because the cost is become cost prohibitive for many. You know, we can talk about how good the economy is getting right now, but the sport itself has become cost prohibitive. Think about it. You know, seats are $200-$300 to get a good seat. Even if you go to a crappy seat, they're $100 and something. By the time you drive, park, you know, you're talking about if you go take somebody out to a game, you're talking about a $300 to $500 day. Now, who's got $300 to $500 laying around when you hear all the time that Americans don't have $300 to $500, you know, 60% don't have $300 to $500 in case of an emergency. So who's got to spend on a game? All right, we can talk about it's because of, you know, the Colin Kaepernick event. I don't think it is. I think it's just a natural. There ain't enough money, and the truth of the matter is it's a lot more fun if you're involved to watch all the games on TV and get all the updates versus being out at the game. So, but I think these channels like NFL Network and the Red Zone and others have taken away the actual viewership from one individual game. Again, there's more competition. You know, the more stations they open, the more sports they open, the harder it is. That's why ESPN is struggling so much now, because there's too many outlets to go to. You know, just a quick example, Baseball Tonight used to be one of my favorites. Baseball is a great sport. It's a great sport to be in fantasy in. And, you know, that Baseball Tonight, that 1 hour every night was unbelievable. Well, now, who wants to watch Baseball Tonight? They got MLB Network. I can watch it all day long. Okay? So I don't watch, I hardly ever watch ESPN. No. I don't care about their politics. I'm not boycotting them. It's just I get better information from better spaces. So why would I want to, you know, go to ESPN? So that's the difference. You know, you've got so many channels now. You know, that's why TV continues to slip. I mean, you know, look at the damage, not damage, but look at what happens to all these networks as you continue to bring in more places to work on, to watch. I mean, you know, like I can watch Law and Order. If you're a Law and Order fan, it's on 72 channels at every different time. You know, it just, there's just too much competition. There's too many places to go. And all you're doing is thinning out the market. And listen, this goes back, you know, forever, how we've thinned out the market, because the more competition comes in, it's just like, you know, I remember retail was open two nights a week, Monday and Thursday. Every other night they close at 6, and I think they were closed on Sunday. Well, now they're open all day long, you know, from, I don't know, 9 to 9, 8 to 9, whatever not ridiculous hours, and Saturday and Sunday. And again, that just, again, you bring in competition, you create more, and of course, then there's a smaller piece of the pie. And that's really what you see in the world. So, and that, and that's where the real crusher of Amazon is, because now, you know, they're open 24/7. You can buy something anytime you want on Amazon and get it delivered and not have to leave you, not have to get out of your pajamas. So it'll be interesting. And the markets are going to be interesting. And of course, we're going to see some, again, there's going to be some wild, wild, wild swings. It's going to be like the wild, wild west. But in the meantime, we do have the big game, and we get Justin Timberlake going to do the national anthem. And of course, I'm sure it'll be a great show. It's interesting. It's in Minneapolis. It's going to be about seven below zero. But the game will be inside in one of the nicest places. But I wonder what it does to the parties. You know, I wonder what it does for the commerce there. You know, because, you know, usually there's a lot, you know, and I'm not saying it's going to hurt. I don't know. But, you know, obviously, if I went to Minneapolis for the Super Bowl, which I probably wouldn't go because I wouldn't want to freeze my just trying to get to the place. But, you know, I've been to the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, and I've been to, you know, Super Bowl in Anaheim. And I just think that, you know, it's obviously they do much better when it's in a nice environment because there's outdoor parties, blah, 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 the whole thing. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how I'm sure they'll do great and do a great job with it. And the stadium's beautiful. So we'll see. In the meantime, there's a couple of prop bets that I like. Okay. I like the prop bet of Danny Amendola. He's my sleeper of the weekend. And his over and under for pass yards is like 48. I like over the 48 is a prop there. I like there's another prop. Will there be a fourth down attempt in your own side of the field? And I would say I would put a yes to that because, again, somebody's going to be trailing late in the game. And they're going to have to go for it on fourth down. So we'll see. But in the meantime, for my big selection, it appears to me that the public is loaded up on Philadelphia. Now, they've done really well without the quarterback, but I don't understand it. You're now – this ain't the kid from Houston, Casey, this isn't you know, anybody else. This is Tom Brady, and you bet the game down from 6.5 down to 4. My play is to be on the New England Patriots minus the 4. Everybody enjoy the game. Have a great weekend. And remember to download the show at libertytalk.fm every single day. And also check out the Sporting Edge this weekend as the boys talk about the Super Bowl. And don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you free. Just sign up for it at bubbatraining.com. In the meantime, everybody enjoy the game. Enjoy the commercials, which is a big thing. And everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And go Patriots. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.